the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Happy Friday, guys.
Yeah, I love it when you say beautiful Friday morning.
Yes, she didn't say.
Me too.
She didn't say hot Friday morning.
No, we'll get to that later.
Well, that's a given.
You're right, but we it is in July, you're right.
Yes.
And right now, we're going to pray. Today is the feast day of St. Kateri. And so we'll offer up a prayer to her in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. Kateri, maiden so pure, Christian so faithful, lover so kind, I call on you with faith and hope to intercede with our Lord Jesus to bring physical, emotional, and spiritual healing to our families and our friends. O Jesus, who gave St. Kateri to the Indians as an example of purity, teach us all to love with purity of hearts. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We will learn more about our saint of the day later on in today's show, but we're starting off with a guest. Steve Shulkins joins us from Shulkins Communications, but he's also a retreatant of the Men's Emmaus Retreat coming up. He is on fire for this retreat. He has been involved for a while now, and he wants to talk about how this retreat has changed his life. And any men out there who are interested in attending, you may want to find out more information from Steve later on in today's show. That's coming up in about 5 minutes. In 18 minutes, Dr. Peter Kwasniewski joins us. You've heard him on Wake Up. He's a Catholic author and speaker. Well, he's coming to Louisiana for his 2023 lecture tour. So we'll give you details about where he will be stopping. It's various places in Louisiana, but if you're in the New Orleans area, he'll be at St. Patrick's Church right there downtown as well. In 35 minutes, Sandra Martin joins us. She is with the Marian Servants of the Precious Blood of Jesus, and today she's talking about the upcoming mini pilgrimage. And in 48 minutes, John Birch joins us. He's a Catholic author, and he's talking about his book called Loving God's Children, The Church and Gender Ideology. It's such a hot topic right now. Mm-hmm. Everyone's talking about it. Well, not everyone, but a lot of people are talking about it.
Right.
And so we're going to dive deeper into this and have a Catholic perspective on it. So looking forward to today's show. Damian, I think you kind of gave it away. It's going to be a hot weekend.
Ooh, will it? 100 degrees. How's that sound, folks?
Well,
that's what we're going to get today and tomorrow. At least that's what they're forecasting. Only a 15% chance of rain today and tomorrow. In fact, we won't even have a chance of cooling down until Sunday, where the chance of rain is 50-50. So 100 degree temps today and tomorrow, and maybe 97 come Sunday. Try to cool things down, but good luck if you're going to be outdoors. My suggestion, stay hydrated, pace yourself.
Or stay indoors.
Yeah, just don't overdo it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when the weather is sunny outside, you do want to do things. So, but I'm talking about those folks who want to do the yard work and all. Get out there, do it for an hour, cool off, do it again for another hour or two. Just don't think you can do the marathon, because that's when you get into trouble and heat stroke arrives.
Right.
And that's the last thing you want, especially for a weekend. Temperatures in and around the area. Mandeville, it's 80 degrees. In Houma Thibodeau, as well as Baton Rouge, it's 81. Over in Gulfport, 82 degrees. And in New Orleans, it's 83. So already we're in the 80s, soon to be at about 100 later on today. So good luck, everybody, in dealing with that. So with that being said, we've got events, an event to tell you about, the Emmaus Retreat coming up in New Orleans as part of St. Dominic's Church Parish. We'll get to that in just a minute. But in the meantime, it's 5 after on this Friday morning and Wake Up.
good Friday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post. He said to him, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him. While he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. The Pharisees saw this and said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" He heard this and said, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice.' I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Thank you, Father Chris. 7 after the hour, almost 8 after on this Friday. Good morning, everyone. With us now is Steve Shulkins. He is with Shulkins Communications and here to talk about the Emmaus Retreat, which is going to be taking place as part of St. Dominic Catholic Church in New Orleans. Steve is a retreatant of the Emmaus Men's Retreat there and here to share his story, but also kind of inspire a number of you. If you've not been on a retreat, in particular this one, you may want to sign up before it's too late. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Damien, and thanks so much for having us this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. So let's start out by giving the folks some reasons, men in particular, why they should attend an Emmaus retreat. Because we've touched on this time and time again over the years here at Catholic Community Radio. But might have some first-time listeners, or maybe those who listened forgot a little bit about what it's all about.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, because it's funny, when you ask somebody if they're interested in going on a retreat, they almost have an idea of what you're talking about already, because they'll say, "Oh, is this like Manresa? Oh, is this like Acts?" And, you know, we have several different retreats in the area. Emmaus started here about 20 years ago. It came from Miami, and it's a lot different. You know, it's for me, when I went on my first Emmaus retreat 7 years ago, it was really a transformation. It was like a spiritual healing, a spiritual awakening. And I guess if you have your mind and your heart open, you know, you will find Jesus on that road to Emmaus. And that's what the retreat is modeled after, is the road to Emmaus when the two disciples left Jerusalem, very disgusted, very disappointed. And then Jesus appeared with them on the road and began conversing. And some people even say that walk was like the Mass, because, you know, it was it was the scriptures that they were talking about. And then they went to the house and they invited Jesus, who they didn't know was Jesus at the time, in with them, and breaking of the bread. It was like the Eucharist. And so I you know, I can't really even put into words what that retreat did for me personally, but it changed my life. It was the change that changed everything. It was a spiritual awakening, a healing. And if anybody's listening this morning and they feel like their life can be improved just a little bit, if they're disappointed in some things, maybe disappointed in their marriage currently right now, or disappointed even in their church, or I invite them to join us on the road to Emmaus. And it's coming up 4 weeks from today, August 11th through the 13th. We're going to go to the Kelly Retreat Center in Bay St. Louis. We'll leave St. Dominic Church in Lakeview at 4 p.m. on Friday afternoon, and we'll be back at St. Dominic for the 5:30 Mass on Sunday. So I invite anybody that feels like they have any amount of spiritual growth left in them, which we all do.
Yes.
I invite you to go to the St. Dominic website and register for this retreat. Road to Emmaus now at stdominicparish.com. That's stdominicparish.com. I guarantee you, Damien, if you or anyone else comes, it will be the change that changes everything.
I bet it will be. Share with us real quick, what got you to say yes 7 years ago? Because I think back to my first retreat, and believe me, I didn't know where I was going or what to experience. I think the key, though, and when I say that, is you need to go with an open mind. But what got you to say yes before you even went to your first retreat?
Well, that is a very good question, because my spiritual mentor had asked me to come on this retreat 6 times before I said yes. I said no, 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 no. And then I reluctantly said okay, and I said it the day before the retreat. And I just said okay.
That's great.
It's very hard for us. We're stuck in our ways. We're very selfish, self-centered people, and we don't want to give up a weekend. even if it means just sitting around watching television or whatever. We don't want to give up that. And it was very hard for me personally to make that sacrifice. But I'll tell you, and even Friday night when I was at the retreat, I was like, why did I say yes? When I left Sunday afternoon, Damien, I'm telling you, I said, oh my God, I wish I'd have done this much earlier. I wish I'd have said yes on the first time. It's very hard because we're fishing for men right now, and we're asking people, and it's the same thing. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's a sacrifice to give up a weekend, you know, but it is a sacrifice that will reward you immensely, abundantly, you know, infinitely for the rest of your life.
God's graces will be poured upon you, I assure you. My experience was the same way. I kept saying no, and I finally said yes. Didn't even know how to say the rosary at the time. The gentleman who brought me to the retreat taught me how to say the rosary on the way there.
Wow.
And,
wow, no kidding.
And, it was
cool.
A major experience for me. Again, go over the dates, the times, and if there's a cost, what is that as well, Steve?
Yeah, it's 4 weeks from today, August 11th through the 13th. We'll meet at St. Dominic at 4 p.m. in Lakeview, and then we'll bus over to the retreat center in Bay St. Louis, and then we'll come back Sunday afternoon at 5 for the 5:30 Mass. It's open to all men of all faiths, and no matter what your financial status is, we have scholarship money. If that's an issue, we'll take care of you. There's nothing to prevent you from coming on the walk to Emmaus with us. And again, if you want to register, it's stdominicparish.com, stdominicparish.com. But it is $250 for, $200 for the retreatants. And
that's not bad.
That's
really good.
You will experience a spiritual awakening like you can't even put into words. It gives me the chills just thinking about it because it is an experience of all experiences. It's the change that changed everything for me.
Wonderful. Last but not least, how many total men will be making the retreat? What's your capacity?
So we have right now, we have 20 team members, and those are the Emmaus brothers who have gone on the retreat before that come back and help the new brothers through their first retreat. And so I think we can go up to about 25 with that retreat center in Bay St. Louis.
Excellent.
So we have about 10 now, so we have about 15 openings. If anybody's sitting on the fence, please pray about it.
You bet.
And call us if you have any questions about it, that people have a lot of questions, you know, and certainly call us, go on the website, there's some phone numbers and names you can call.
All right. Stephen, I'm sorry, we're out of time. Go to ccmedia.live for more.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 14th. Today we celebrate Saint Kateri Tekakwitha. The first North American native to be canonized was baptized in 1676 and died 4 years later. Known as the Lily of the Mohawks, her life and grace grew rapidly. Kateri's mother was a Christian Algonquin and wife to the chief of the Mohawk clan. At age 4, Kateri lost her family in a smallpox epidemic that left her disfigured and half blind. The uncle who adopted her did not welcome the young girl's growing interest in the Catholic faith or the influence of the Jesuit missionaries on her. At 19, Kateri refused to marry and converted to Catholicism. Her radical actions left her in danger. On the advice of a priest, she stole away one night and walked 200 miles to a Christian Indian village near Montreal. There she grew in holiness under the direction of a priest and an Iroquois woman, spending long hours in prayer, charity, and strenuous penance. At 23, Kateri took a vow of virginity. When she died in 1680, all traces of the smallpox scars had reportedly disappeared from her emaciated face. Pope Benedict XVI canonized Kateri Tekakwitha in 2012. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It's almost 19 after the hour. Get up, get going. You're listening to Wake Up. Damian Colano along with Gabby Smith, David Dawson, and with us again, Dr. Peter Kwasniewski. He is Catholic speaker, author, and composer. Here to talk about his 2023 lecture tour in Louisiana. I know people hearing that right now, Peter, they're thinking this is part of your penance and that you were in South Louisiana in July with 100-degree temperatures, so you don't have to go to purgatory. You're doing it now on Earth. So anyway, good morning, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for the introduction.
It's probably one you'll never get again. At least you're hoping not to. Let's talk about your lecture series. Why are you making a tour of South Louisiana? There's a lot of Catholics down here. But yes. What is it you want to share with them in particular? Because you're going to Sulphur, Lafayette, Covington, and New Orleans. So we'll start with the broad picture and then kind of focus in on the folks in our listening area.
Yes. Well, I've been wanting to come to Louisiana for many years. It was already 5 or 6 years ago that some Catholics down there first reached out to me and said, you know, would you come and speak? That was unfortunately, we never got the plans going, and then there was supposed to be a trip, right, and then COVID hit, and so it's definitely been, of all of the trips I've taken, it's the one that's been gestating the longest, but I'm really excited that everything has come together this time, even if it's July. I'm very excited to come down to these four places.
Well, great.
There are some students I taught at Wyoming Catholic College who live in some of the areas that I'll be going to, and I'm actually going to be seeing them and staying with some of them. So yeah. So there's also a personal, friendly connection there.
Yeah, that's the best way to take trips, you know. That way you can write them off and still have fun with friends. You know, Uncle Sam appreciates it that way. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get into the tax side of it. But
No.
But you're a nonprofit anyway, right?
To be honest, I really almost never stay in hotels. I much prefer staying with friends, with priests and rectories. I mean, just anything that's more personal like that is much better.
No, you're right about that. Yeah. And I noticed that in each city that you're going to be going to, by the way, the tour is from July 20th to the 23rd, but in each city there's a different topic. Why not a lot of times when guys are doing tours or women, they're sticking to the one topic and they repeat it over and over and over again. That's probably something you don't like doing, huh?
No, I really dislike that. I think of it this way, that some of these locations are not terribly far from each other, and so it might be that somebody might want to hear two different talks. If it's the same topic, then they wouldn't even think about doing that. But also just keeps things interesting for me as well, to keep varying what I'm talking about. And I also, I like, if possible, sometimes these talks are put on video, and then I can share them on my YouTube channel. And, you can't just keep sharing the same talk over and over again. I really do make a point of changing things up.
Okay. Well, in Covington, you're going to be there come July 22nd. I believe there's a mass, and then you're speaking after the mass at 10 o'clock. And the topic is interesting: poets, lovers, children, madmen, and worshipers.
Wow.
Why we repeat ourselves in the liturgy. Expound upon that.
Yes. Yeah, that's what they call a provocative title.
Yes, it is.
The point of the lecture is to explain repetition in worship. All traditional liturgical rites throughout the whole world, East and West, involve a lot of repetition. For example, in the traditional Roman rite, you say Kyrie eleison three times, Christe eleison three times, and then Kyrie eleison three times. So a total of 9 invocations. That could look to somebody like, well, why are you just repeating these things, over and over? Or we say, Lord, I am not worthy, Domine non sum dignus. That ends up being said 6 times. There's an attitude that developed in the 20th century that this repetition should be simplified. We don't need to say these things over and over again. What I argue in this talk is that In fact, repetition plays a crucial role in all kinds of areas of human life. In poetry, lovers repeat themselves for good reason. Children want to hear things over and over again for good reason. Mm-hmm. Well, Mad Men, I just threw that in there.
They're the one. It's the Mad Men who are doing the repeating.
I can't wait to get the Mad Man part.
The Mad Men are the ones who do the repeating.
That's not necessarily something we want to emulate there. But, you know, it shows a real ignorance of liturgy not to appreciate this fact. I mean, if you go to a Byzantine liturgy, they say, Lord, have mercy, 150 times, and even in the canon of repentance, they say things, 600 times or whatever. So I think we really need to re-examine this question and reverse some of that harmful simplification.
Okay. And then in New Orleans, the genius of Christian's oldest rite. That's going to be at St. Patrick's Church. It's on Camp Street. And that'll be Sunday morning, July 23rd at 11 a.m. All right. Let's talk about the oldest rite that you're referring to.
Yes. Well, let me just say, because you might be working with an older schedule. That talk time did change.
Oh, okay.
That talk time is at 12:15.
Oh, it is. They backed it up. All right. Well, I'm glad.
And so what's happening is that there's a 9:15 mm-hmm. Latin Mass, mm-hmm. and then there's a breakfast at 10:30 open to everybody. They're going to do. I'm probably pancakes and sausages or something like that, for everybody. And then at 12:15, we'll convene for the talk. But
okay.
Christianity is
Like Jesus, Peter? You feed them, then you give them the message.
If you feed them, they will come.
Yeah. That's you don't want to be hangry.
That's right. Don't let them be hungry, exactly. Except for the word of the Lord. But go ahead.
Especially for families, it would be very difficult if there were no breakfast at hand. This title is meant to be a little provocative, because oftentimes when people talk about, what's the oldest, form of worship in the church, a lot of people might think it's Byzantine worship or, somehow the East is older than the West or something like that. But in point of fact, the Roman Rite, from all we can tell, is the oldest rite. It's what we're tapping into, an apostolic rite there that goes, straight back to the earliest centuries of the faith. Mm-hmm. Straight back to the Upper Room and the Last Supper, ultimately. And so the Christianity's oldest rite there is referring to the traditional Roman rite. And my point in that my what I do in that talk is I'm going to just explain to people why the traditional Roman Rite is the way it is and does what it does, especially the points that are most unusual about it, that people notice most when they first attend it, as in contrast with the modern rite.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and when you say the Roman Rite, is that different than the Latin Mass, or is that one in the same?
That's what I mean. I just mean that, the traditional Latin Mass is... Mm-hmm. Technically speaking, it's the Roman Rite, as opposed to, say, the Byzantine Rite, or the Melkite Rite, or the Ambrosian Rite, or something of that sort.
What do you think is the church leaders' hang up right now with the Latin Mass?
That's a very good question. I've thought and written about this a lot. I think that it's bound up with a number of issues. One is their understanding, the understanding of current leadership of Vatican II and what it meant and what it intended to do, and what it means to adhere to it. And those are obviously, vast questions in themselves. But many people would argue that Vatican II did not intend to do something revolutionary with the liturgy, that there was a sort of derailment that took place afterwards. Mm-hmm. And certainly that whatever you think about the merits or demerits of the liturgical reform, there's absolutely no reason to question the good faith of Catholics who simply want to continue mm-hmm. worshiping in an older form. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in Christianity's oldest rite. So this is, it's very strange, the times we're living in. I also think that there's a certain amount of ecclesiastical politics going on, in the sense of associating those who go to the Latin Mass with a kind of social and political and cultural conservatism that is currently very much in disfavor in official circles.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it should exist. And for those who want to attend that traditional Mass, I think it's great. And it's definitely drawing younger families to the church in a special way. And Dr. Peter, we hope you have a great time on your South Louisiana tour, visit with a lot of friends, and your topics are always of interest. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of folks attending. So thanks for being with us on Wake Up this morning.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
God bless you. Have a great weekend. All right. That's Dr. Peter Kwanowski, and Newski, I should say. And
So he's going to be in Sulphur, and then he's going to be in Lafayette and Covington and New Orleans.
Right.
So that's quite the tour.
Covington, Saturday, July 22nd, 9 a.m. Mass. He'll do the talk following that.
Okay.
And then New Orleans on Sunday, July 23rd. They have the Latin Mass at 9:30, breakfast, and then he'll do the talk at 12:15.
There you go.
All right. It's 7:30 on this Friday morning. Let's get going. And stick around. We've got more coming your way on Wake Up.
Past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up. If you're just getting in your car, getting to work, welcome. We're happy to have you with us. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado. And our guest this morning is Sandra Martin. She's with the Marian Servants of the Precious Blood of Jesus. And they have a mini pilgrimage coming up. This is a wonderful place to go. I've always said if you go here, it's a pilgrimage. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning. Good morning.
You're heading up to St. Helena Parish Campus in Amite, Louisiana, huh?
Yes, actually, it's not very far away. I live in Covington, and it only takes me about 45 minutes to get there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We go fairly often.
It's
we were
close.
Originally attracted by the preponderance of relics that they have there. I have over 100 and something first-class relics, and that's what drew us to go see that.
Yeah.
And then we bumped into Father Mark and heard about the development of that campus with so many beautiful places to pray and be inspired and learn about the faith. So it's a good place to go.
It's one of the most beautiful adoration chapels I think I've ever seen, and you're absolutely right. Now, Damian and Gabby, I don't know if you guys have been there yet, but just the reliquary itself, you will stand there and look at it for a long time, just the amount of relics. Hmm. Do you remember how many relics are in there?
She said over
151,
oh, she did.
151, they say.
Oh, okay. 151. Wow. My goodness.
And then
when you walk around the campus, y'all, there's the beautiful statuary of the apostles. I believe these are the same statues or replicas of the ones at the Vatican, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
if you sit by the relic wall, you can almost feel them sitting behind you cheering. Cheering us on.
Oh, no.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, the way they're arranged and such. Now, I'm also understanding that, are you guys going to be able to look at the new, I don't want to say exhibit, but it's a beautiful depiction of Christ crucified. Have you seen this yet, and are you going to be able to see it?
Yes, it's part of our day. In fact, at 2:00, people would like to go on a guided tour from one of the parishioners there. They're trained to guide you around and tell you how all the different things came to be and help you be inspired by them. So that's actually part of the day. But primarily, we're going there. We're choosing that as our spot. But primarily, we're going there to pray for our families, to pray for our family bloodlines, to pray past, present, and future, invoking the precious blood of Jesus to come and heal our families, make us holy, sanctify us, and, of course, drive away the enemy.
Yeah, yeah. When you talk about praying for your past bloodlines, talk about that.
Well, our good Father Kevin DeLerno, who is one of our members and trained as spiritual director at our school in Clearwater, Marian Servant School of Spiritual Direction. He is pastor at St. Peter and Paul in Pearl River, which you know has its own history of demonic aggravation.
Oh, yes, and, that's right, yes.
So he's done quite a bit of work in this area of healing the family bloodline. If you look at the beginning of Matthew, what are we given? The bloodline of Jesus. And if you look at that, we're going to see some scoundrels.
Yeah, there's some messy folks in there. You're right.
There's some bad people. I mean, Moses was a murderer. King David was a murderer. They killed people.
And an adulterer.
So, adulterer, right, exactly. Mm. So, anyway, Jesus himself has that kind of mixed bloodline of saints and scoundrels. And, you know, if the truth be known, and the truth is known, we are all saints and scoundrels.
Yes.
We're kind of a mixed bag of sinners and saints all at one time. We're in the process of becoming saints. We're becoming saints. So what we're going to do that day is we're going to have at the center of the day, of course, a Mass. And we're going to be using the votive Mass of the precious blood of Jesus, which, of course, is especially powerful.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be understanding and calling to mind and praying about and trying to comprehend more deeply that Jesus redeemed us by his blood and replaced the old covenant with a new covenant. You know, the old covenant promised that he'd go with them, that he'd travel with them as they went through their lives. And they understood that. Our Old Testament friends were pretty fixed on here and now.
Yeah.
But we of the new covenant understand that we're people in process for eternal salvation and eternal sanctity. And so we're people who are becoming. And because we are gloriously blessed to ingest the blood of Jesus. And it's like a divine blood transfusion. My sinful, weak, frail self is replaced with sanctity, with divinization.
I like the blood transfusion.
That's quite interesting. I've never heard of that phrase before, and that's quite a picture I'm imagining in my head, Sandra. But this is amazing. So this is a one-day pilgrimage. When is it? What time is it? And how much does it cost?
It's this coming Wednesday.
From
9 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we couldn't get me on before now, but it's okay. If you register by July 17th, you're still good.
Oh, good.
Marian servants don't charge anything for the day, but St. Helena is now asking that everybody who comes to their campus make a donation of $25 for the upkeep of their grounds. So you will be asked to make a donation of $25 to St. Helena. And if you want lunch, that'll be $15, but you can bring your own lunch. And those costs I don't have any control over.
Mm.
But everything else will be supplied by the Marian servants.
How is the transportation done? Do you meet there, or are you caravanning, or what do you do?
Yeah, just meet there, because in years past we tried caravanning, and most people had no problem getting themselves there. It's just right up 55.
Yeah.
You can't go up
right
north on 55 and get off at a meet. Can't miss it. It's pretty easy to find. So,
all right.
Transportation's
so,
not a difficulty.
It does sound like a beautiful pilgrimage. It's not going to take up a lot of time. It's convenient. It's easy to get to from Baton Rouge or New Orleans or even the Mississippi Gulf Coast over to St. Helena's in a meet. And then again, just to go and walk the grounds, you know, we just mentioned a few of the things that you can see at this beautiful church and its campus. So I hope you have a good turnout. It sounds like a wonderful day, Sandra.
I think it's going to be a very sanctifying day, a very holy day. So many of our people are worried about their children, you know, not coming to the sacraments, and they just are concerned.
Yeah.
And, of course, all of us are oppressed by the enemy.
Yep.
That's part of life.
Yep.
And so we will address both of those and use the healing balm of forgiveness and atonement for our sins as we walk through the day. And I guess it's not so much seeing what's going on the campus that we want you to pay attention to that day. We want you to come and be interiorly changed.
Beautiful. You just happen to be on holy ground. Absolutely. Okay.
That's right.
So,
we're on holy ground.
How do we sign up with you?
If you would call me or text me
at
985-630-2988.
One more time?
985-630-2988.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then we're going to have this also posted on ccmedia.live. Sandra, thank you for joining us. I hope this turns out really well. It sounds like you're going to be doing this more than once.
Sounds that way. God bless, and thank you.
Thank you. That sounds like a nice pilgrimage, y'all.
Yeah, it does. You know, I wonder how people are, not people, how they, St. Helena acquired all those relics. I don't know the process of that. Maybe we could get a guest on to talk about that. Because you see relics in different churches.
If I'm not mistaken, I can only go back my memory, and it's pretty foggy, but I really think it had to do with a convent that was closing, quite a few other things that closed. And when that happens, and it was from up north, then the relics get passed down. So,
cool.
Yeah.
We'd be interested to find out how they did obtain them all. That's a lot of relics.
I bet they tell you. I bet they tell you when you're there. Yeah. So, all right. When we come back, Gabby's going to be interviewing John Bursch, an author, talking about loving God's children, the church, and gender ideology. It's 44 past the hour on Wake Up.
Past the hour, you're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up This Morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Our next guest is John Bursch. John is a Catholic author, and today he joins us to talk about his new book called Loving God's Children, The Church and Gender Ideology. Good morning, John. Thank you for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. So glad to be here.
Yes, this is such quite an interesting topic, and I'm glad we're touching on it because it's getting more and more put out there, and I think that we're having a conversation about it more and more when it comes to gender ideology, pronouns. I'm just throwing things out there that we're hearing constantly, and it can be a little confusing because this is all kind of new. So tell us, what are you writing? What do you say in your book that you have written, and how does that go with church teaching?
Well, this book is exactly for those who are hearing about all these issues in the culture. They're hearing about the pronouns. They're hearing about transitions. They're hearing about, you know, mass groups of teenage girls all of a sudden coming out as transgender. And they don't know what the church teaches about all this, how to think about it, or even how to talk about it with family members and neighbors, coworkers, and friends. And so this book kind of starts with the basics. It talks about the difference between moral relativism and objective truth, the kind of truth that the church teaches. And then it walks through the theology of the body and then quickly transitions to how the theology of the body informs the way that we think about gender ideology, that God created each of us, male and female, for a specific purpose. And that purpose has to do with us being embodied souls. And so our sex is not just something that we're assigned at birth. It actually shows something about who we are. And in the beauty of marriage, when one man and one woman come together and through their love can proceed an entirely new human being, a son or a daughter, we can be icons of the Trinity. And then from there, the book goes on to talk about some of the science behind gender ideology, how misguided the treatments are right now. And then it also goes through a series of questions and answers with answers primarily from the bishop's documents that we have in the United States, some really beautiful works that answer really common questions, things like, what does a priest do if a transgender person presents themselves for marriage or for the RCI program? If I'm an employee at a company and they ask me to wear an ally pin for Pride Month, how do I respond to that? Or if I have a family member who is afflicted with gender dysphoria, then what should I do about that? How should I think about that in a way that the church thinks is loving? So it's a pretty comprehensive book that approaches the subject from a Catholic perspective.
You really touch on all of the topics. There was an eye-opening documentary that was circulating Twitter, I would say about a month ago, that really dives into this topic. And a lot of the medications are quite actually very harmful for young adults and young children, teens who are thinking about transitioning. It was quite interesting to see something that I've never heard about. So this is something I think that we should be educated on because it's in the forefront. And as Catholics, where do we stand with this? Okay, so it could be something that's so basic that we know where we stand. But you cover these topics because, John, a lot of families are going through this. Maybe we have parents or grandparents who have children or grandchildren who are going through this in their life. Let's kind of talk about that, because that seems to be kind of the topic that we're hearing more and more. How do you touch on that in your book?
Yeah, absolutely. And we know several families that are dealing with this issue right now. And what you hear in the media, in the culture, and even from some doctors, is that you have to affirm someone in their gender identity, or otherwise they're going to commit suicide. You know, sometimes you'll hear the phrase, "I would rather have a live daughter than a dead son," or something like that. Mm. And that is absolutely false. The best long-term studies that we have, they come from Sweden, where gender ideology has been practiced for a long time, and people of trans identities are freely accepted. So you don't have any arguments about, you know, social pressure or bullying and things like that. And those studies show that over the long haul, those who make the complete transition and they go all the way through surgery end up having worse mental health outcomes, higher suicide rates, and all kinds of other terrible things that happen to them. And that's even before you start talking about some of the transitional medicines along the way that you referenced. Things like puberty blockers, which are used to kind of forestall that change into becoming an adult male or female, can result in all kinds of adverse medical consequences, including infertility, loss of bone mass, and things like that. If you go even further with the cross-sex hormones, you know, then you're basically assured of being infertile for your entire life, and there are additional medical complications from that. And so this idea that we have to affirm or otherwise we're not being good parents or being good family members is just completely false from a medical perspective. And if we want to truly love the person, we need to help them align their mind with the body, which is what we would do with any other dysphoria, you know, whether that would be anorexia or, you know, body dysmorphia, where someone feels like a particular part of their body doesn't belong there and they want to remove it. We always help the person align their mind with their body. And that's the loving thing to do. And that's what the church asks us to do, is to not just give in to someone's desires, but to truly love them by wanting what's best for them.
You know, being a teenager can be challenging in itself, more for others. I think the hormone blockers was what really hit me. Stopping and blocking your natural hormones that you through as a teenager. And then if you want to stop it, if you want to resume that, the side effects to that. So that was what really opened my eyes, saying this is not, the medications here, something's not clicking. So we could go on and on, sports, different things that we're seeing, what's right and wrong. John, where can we pick up a copy of your book? Because it seems like a lot of that stuff is in there.
It's all there, and Sophia Institute Press is publishing the book. It's officially released on August 15th, but you can pre-order copies now. And, you know, one of the terrible things about the puberty blockers in particular is that if you just leave someone who's an adolescent, a teenager who's experiencing gender dysphoria to their own devices, and you don't affirm them with pronouns and with drugs and things like that, 80 to 95% of them will naturally align their mind with their body, and there will no longer be any issues after that. But once you start them on those puberty blockers and you start using their preferred pronouns and you allow them to dress as the opposite sex and to use private spaces of the opposite sex, there's a nearly 100% chance that they're going to persist with their gender dysphoria, which then leads to those more invasive cross-sex hormones and surgeries and things like that. And so, you know, even this idea of, if I call someone by their preferred pronoun, that doesn't hurt anything, is a terrible lie. And it's a lie that culture and media continue to feed us.
Wow.
Interesting. John Bursch, author of the book, Loving God's Children, The Church and Gender Ideology. Where can we pick up our copy?
Well, as I mentioned, Sophia Institute, Press has got the book on their website. In addition, you can find the book at any other major online retailer, including Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But we hope that you support Sophia's website, Sophia Institute Press on their website, or through your local Catholic bookseller.
Yes, definitely check out your local Catholic bookstore. We have many in our listening area. John, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
All right. Real quick, you guys, you can follow us on social media by searching Catholic Community Media on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads.
We're
everywhere. Also on Twitter at LA Catholic Media. We're still on Twitter, you guys.
Yep.
So
that's okay.
For those who are still on there, we're still
Why
there.
Are you knocking Twitter?
We're still hanging around there.
Because mean people love Twitter.
Well, I don't have either one, but I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's good things on there too, huh?
We are.
Okay. Yes. Well, there you
we're
go.
Good. Yeah, that's we're good. The good. No, I can only spend so much time on Twitter before my mind turns to mush. But yeah, follow us on social media. We are the good part of social media.
Well, let our hearts and minds turn to the Eucharist.
Indeed.
Pope Francis' prayer intentions for July is focusing on that, and we offer that up in prayer. We pray that Catholics may place the celebration of the Eucharist at the heart of their lives, transforming human relationships in a very deep way, and opening to the encounter with God and all their brothers and sisters. And we also pray for Pope Francis. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Amen. Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.